Good morning. Please turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 27, verses 1 through 4. Again, I will be reading Genesis chapter 27, verses 1 through 4, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Now it came to pass, when Isaac was old, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." He answered to him, "Here I am." Then he said, "Behold now, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And make me savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die."
Morning, everyone. The young adult class that we have on Wednesday night, back in the back, has been studying the idea of finding our faith, and it's been kind of looking at different aspects of our faith, building up our faith, and lately the focus has been around building up what we know about the church, right? And part of what the author listed there was purposes for the church. And, of course, having sat through, I don't know how many sermons here, and hearing sermons about the idea of the work of the church, right? There's that standard, you know, three things, right? We edify, we evangelize, and we do limited benevolence. That's the work of the church. He came up with four things, which kind of like, huh? Right? Four. But then, you know, there were a couple of things that I hadn't really thought about before. And one of those things that that the author came up with, let's see. Is this the idea of fellowship? And I hadn't really thought about fellowship as being a purpose of the church, but it certainly is if you really think about it. One of the purposes we have for being together as a church is to have fellowship one with another. Vines. Dictionary lists two words here that are translated fellowship. One is koinonia, which is always translated fellowship, which is communion or sharing, in common. And as it says there, it appears 14 times in our New Testament, always as fellowship. And there's also metoche, which is a partnership. Right, and that one appears 23 times in our New Testament. As you see there, it's translated a couple times as fellowship, but most often it is translated as fellow something, fellow servant, fellow laborer, fellow prisoner. Peter uses it in the sense of fellow elder. Right, he calls himself a fellow elder, right, using this word. And it's the idea of sharing things in common with others. And, of course, this has a physical meaning to it. There is physical fellowship, right, that we have. But most importantly, it has a spiritual meaning. And as I like to do, I like to pick a word, right, and I've picked a word here, right, and I like to talk about what it is that God's word has to say about fellowship. So we'll consider briefly three different aspects of fellowship. And first off, there is the idea that there should be fellowship among Christians, right? Have to have fellowship among Christians. In 1 John chapter 1, and at verse 3, it says, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So you see, John here is saying these things, writing these things, so that we can walk in the light, right? So we can understand how to walk in the light. And when we do that, when each of us is walking in the light, we have fellowship with each other just by doing what it says. Not necessarily that we're, you know, somehow doing it all together, right? But that we're all doing it, right? We have fellowship. Of course, there's Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. That says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to breaking of bread and prayers, right? And the author of the book that we're looking at back there used this one as the idea of brethren having fellowship. But of course, you know, we need to understand what's being said here. The idea of devoting themselves. Devote is to give all or a large part of one's time and resources to a person, activity, or a cause. Right? So these people were devoted. They were giving as much as they had to this cause. Right? But the problem here is that much of the Christian religious world, people that call themselves Christians, right, they take passages like this, right, and they use these passages to justify something like this, right? And, you know, you got to have this building, right, that has, you know, one of these in it, right? It's the fellowship hall, right? Fellowship hall. Right, because we're supposed to have fellowship one with another, they somehow make it this, right? But of course, the example that we find in the New Testament is that the church assembled at a given location, right? The local church assembled at a given location at a specific time, right? On the first day of the week to observe the Lord's Supper, Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. And to give of their means, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, right? That's the example that we have, right? We also have examples of the church being assembled, and they there was some preaching, also Acts chapter 20, right? There's also examples of teaching, praying, and searching the Scriptures by the assembled body of a local congregation, right? Those are the things they did when they came together. Right, the only time that we see them coming together on the Lord's Day and having a meal is when the Apostle Paul scolds the Corinthian church for doing just that in Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11, in verse 22, it says, "What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not." Right? So, do we come together on the first day of the week to enjoy a big meal? No. No. Never. Ever. Right? And, you know, and you could just forget what it says up there, right? There's just no example of it, right? None whatsoever, right? But here, Paul condemns exactly that, right? Of course, they had turned the Lord's Supper into this, right? But Paul condemns it, right? The physical fellowship that we are to have as Christians in no way justifies a fellowship hall, okay? Now, our fellowship should be a reflection of the nature of God. In John chapter 13 and in verse 35, it says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Right? When we love one another, when we show love and concern for one another, that's fellowship. right? That is a partnership, right? Of me in your life and you in mine, right? That's fellowship, right? We have godly fellowship in our love for each other, and it should be evident to the world based on what the Lord said here, right? That people should see this godly fellowship that we have one for another and say, hey, you know, what's the deal with those Church of Christ folks? Right? They're, you know, they really care about one another. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. We have fellowship not only in our love for one another, but in our love for others. Right? It's not just talking about, you know, here. And yes, we should have love for one another here. But this is just generally loving people, right? Having that kind of attitude, right? And when we all do that, right? When we have that loving attitude, each one of us, we have fellowship in that. And of course, we're all working towards the same goals, right? That gives us fellowship. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, and when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. But how is it that Peter, James, John, Barnabas, and Paul, how could they have fellowship if their missions took them to different parts of the world? To different people, right? How could they have fellowship? Well, they all preach the same gospel, right? Just one gospel, right? So they had fellowship in that, right? It wasn't Paul's gospel, and then John had a gospel, and then, you know, Peter, he had his gospel, right? No, right? It was just what they got from the Lord. And they were increasing the same church, right? Building up the same church. Right? Wasn't churches, right? It was just the church. And of course, since these men weren't necessarily all together, some of them were at times, but since they weren't all together all the time, this is again not about having a hall where we get together. Right? That's not a mandatory thing to have fellowship. Right? These men had fellowship and they were all over the world. Right? Separated by hundreds of miles. Right? And rarely talked to one another. Right? We have a few accounts of it in our New Testament. But beyond that, no. But they had fellowship. Right? And it didn't take a hall to get that done. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul writes, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day till now. The Philippians, when Paul wrote this, he wasn't in Philippi. If he was in Philippi, he wouldn't have written them a letter. He would have just talked to them. Right? How did the Philippians have fellowship with Paul? Well, this wasn't physical, right? Right? It wasn't right there with him, holding his hand, right? But they had fellowship nonetheless, and they had fellowship by supporting Paul financially. Right? When we support preachers, right, and there's a list of them back there on the financial statement, when we support those preachers, we have fellowship with them. Right? We take care of their needs, like the Philippians did for the Apostle Paul. And in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things in Jesus Christ. Fellowship of the mystery. What is the mystery? Well, the mystery that Paul's writing about here is God's plan to save mankind, right? It was hidden in Scripture, right? It wasn't all just kind of laid out there, right? But there's a fellowship in there, right? There's a fellowship in God's plan to save mankind. The most basic fellowship is the fact that we all need that plan and we all need that salvation, right? All of us, right? We share in that need. Right, so we have fellowship from that aspect, and we have fellowship in making that mystery known. Right, we understand it. Right, it's all laid out for us. We understand it, and we can share that. Right, and in sharing it, we have a fellowship. So we must have fellowship one with another. There has to be physical fellowship. But of course, we also need to have fellowship with the Lord. Right? It's important that our fellowship doesn't just stop with us. We need to have fellowship with God. Jesus, in his prayer, I know it's kind of an eye chart up there probably, but Jesus, in his prayer in John chapter 17, talked about oneness beginning at verse 20, says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. That's fellowship. As you, Father, are in me and I in you. It's also fellowship, right? Father has fellowship with the Son. Son has fellowship with the Father. That they also may be one in us. Right? We have fellowship with the Father and the Son. That the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, and I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one. Right? Perfect fellowship. Right? That we're teaching the same thing. We're just like one another in that, right? And we're just like the Lord in that. Right? We're teaching the same gospel that Jesus preached. Right? We're teaching the same gospel that Jesus gave to Peter and to Paul and to John. Right? We have fellowship in that. And then if you drop down to the end of this passage in verse 26, it says, and I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Right? We share in the love of God. Right? God pours out his love towards us. Right? And we all have fellowship. Right? The fact that we share in that gives us fellowship and fellowship with God. Jesus wanted his disciples to be one together with him and the Father. And we must have fellowship in knowing who Jesus is and who sent him and why he was sent. Right? That's the basis of the gospel, right? Who Jesus is, who sent him, and why he was sent. If we know those things and we share those things alike, we have fellowship with God. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, if there be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies. Fellowship of the Spirit. Right? We have fellowship in what the Spirit provided. Right? There's just one Bible, one set of Scripture, right? Not yours and mine, right? I don't have my own edition where I've kind of you know, added a few things, cut some stuff out. No, no, no. There's just the one, right? We share in that, right? And so in sharing in that, we have fellowship with the Spirit, right? Because it's what the Spirit has provided to each of us. In Philippians chapter 3, in verse 10, it says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made comfortable unto, conformable unto his death. Right? When we suffer as a Christian, we share in Christ's suffering. Right? We have fellowship with Christ in suffering. It may not feel like fellowship, right? But we are sharing with the Lord. Right? And of course, we're promised that that kind of thing will come, right? That there will be suffering as a Christian. Right? But just remember that Jesus suffered much more, right? And in our sufferings, we have fellowship with the Lord. In 1 John, again, chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "That which we've seen and heard, we proclaim to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Right? If we believe and follow what John witnessed and what he wrote, we have fellowship with John. And if we have fellowship with John, we have fellowship with the Father and the Son. It said so. Right? Right? By abiding by what the apostles witnessed and wrote down for us, we have fellowship with those apostles and with the Lord. Right? And we definitely want to have fellowship with the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, "But he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it's written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" True believers share in common with God not only a relationship, but we share in God's character, right? Part of God's character is the fact that he is holy, set apart, right? And if we try to model that, right, be holy where God is holy, if we try to model that, we have fellowship with the Father, with God, by being holy. There is a fellowship of holiness. And of course, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." So fellowship is something we're called into. But how are we called into it? We're called into the fellowship by the Word, right? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14 says we're called by the gospel, right? The gospel tells us what we need to do, tells us how to have fellowship with the Lord. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." How do we have fellowship of the Spirit? Right? The Spirit provides the truth. We live and walk by the truth. And that gives us fellowship with the Spirit. Right? It's all very simple. Right? But we need to have fellowship with God, right? Not only just with each other, but we need to have fellowship with God. And then lastly, we are not to have fellowship with evil. Right? There are lots of things we're supposed to have fellowship with, but this one thing we are not supposed to have fellowship with. 2 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 4, or chapter 6 and verse 14 says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness?" Paul here equates fellowship with partnership. We are not to entangle ourselves, partner with, or participate with anyone who is engaging in sinful activity. That's what Paul is saying here. Right. Folks have tried to use this to say, you know, Christians shouldn't marry a non-Christian, right? That's not what this context is about. Because a few verses later, he also tells you to come out and be separate. So we know he's not talking about marriage, right? He's talking here about the idea that we shouldn't be partnered with people in their evil activities, in their sinful activities, period. Right? And especially in a situation where they might have some sway over us. Right, so what groups do we join? Maybe what jobs do we take? Right, that could put us in this situation. Right, the wrong kind of job with the wrong kind of people. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, it says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." So here's a question. Paul says, reprove them. Can you reprove an unfruitful work? Can you reprove an action? No. You can reprove an actor, right? You can reprove the person who is doing the action or has done the action, right? Not the action itself, right? So we're not to participate with those who are doing unfruitful works of darkness. And it's the idea of not going along, but rather pointing out the error. Right? That's what our job is. Right? If we go along, then we've got fellowship with them. Right? We're not supposed to be there. Right? So we're not to go along with them. And then in 1 John chapter 1, again, if we say we have fellowship with him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You know, we don't have a partnership if we don't walk together. That's what John's saying. Right? But far too often we get this idea that, you know, it's like, I'm pretty good on Sunday morning. Right? I walk with God on Sunday morning, but then Monday afternoon comes along and, you know, you'd never know it. Right? And that's what John's talking about here. That's false fellowship, right? That's a fellowship that only exists in our own mind, right? Where we're saying, yeah, I'm doing enough, right? Where, you know, I'm walking with God, but God's gone way over here and I'm way off over here. Right? We just don't realize it, right? Because, you know, on Sunday morning or, you know, most Sunday mornings or, you know, a few Sunday mornings, we show up here, right? And we think that's fellowship, right? John says no. So we're not to have fellowship with these things, with these unfruitful works of darkness, with sinful activities. Right, but does that mean that we're supposed to turn our backs on the world? Right? I mean, the easiest way to not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness is to just close ourselves off from the world. Right? People used to do that. They build these monasteries and the monks would just close themselves in and, you know, you can't be influenced, right? I can't be influenced because the world can't get to me. It's like, yeah, but you're also not letting your light shine, right? Jesus, in the Great Commission, told his disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Right? How in the world are we going to teach anybody if we lock ourselves away? Right? We have to be out there, right? We have to be out there showing people what real fellowship is supposed to look like. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, he told his disciples again, go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Right, we can't do that if we lock ourselves away. In 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16, Paul says, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Right, if you want an example of somebody that went out amongst people who were sinful, right, that were engaging in fellowship with darkness and error, Paul. Right, he was surrounded by them constantly, right? But what that did for Paul was give him a reason to preach, right? A chance to talk to folks. Right, so, no, we don't cut ourselves off from the world. Right? We need to be lights to the world. We need to be examples of what real fellowship with the Lord looks like. Right? People need to see that in the lives that we live. So, again, we need to have fellowship one with another. We must have fellowship one with another. Right? Without it, we can't have the church as it's supposed to be. And we need to have fellowship with the Lord. And if we don't have fellowship with the Lord, then we're not doing those things that the Lord wants us to do as a church and as an individual Christian. Right? And we are not to have fellowship with evil. Right? Don't partner with them. Don't go along with them. Right, but rather point out the fact that what they're doing is wrong. And a lot of times it's just about saying, no, I'm not going to do that. Right? It starts with that, at least. Right? And so that's what true fellowship is. And yes, fellowship is one of the purposes of the church. If you've never obeyed the gospel, then you aren't in fellowship with the Lord. But that's a situation that can be easily corrected. Right? Our fellowship is something that we can fix quickly. If you're someone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, right? If you believe that he is the Son of God, if you're willing to repent, that's a change of mind that brings about a change of life. And if you're willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ, you can be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And that takes you from a state of being an enemy of Christ to being in full fellowship with him, right? Hand in hand with the Lord. And that's where we all need to be. As Christians, we sometimes fail, sometimes sin. When we do, our fellowship is in jeopardy, right? And we need to fix that, right? And we can fix that easily by confessing our sins, repenting, praying to God, and he will forgive us. Right? And as Christians, if maybe we've sinned publicly, and if you've sinned publicly, we can pray with you and pray for you. And this morning, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we'd ask that you'd come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.